1972, Joey Gallo killed in Little Italy during dinner at Umberto's Clam House.
An hour from now, for you tonight, or 100 years from now, I'm in jail. I mean,
they get there by violence, and often as not, they leave by violence.
Between $3 and $5 million in cash and valuables was taken from the Lufthansa cargo terminal out at Kennedy Airport.
I can give you guys $500,000 a year without a problem.
New York City is a war zone for mobsters and their targets.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into part 7 of episode 57 of The Black Hand, an organized crime history podcast. I'm your host, Bliss Grieve, and on today's show, we continue our look into deputy gangs in the LA County Sheriff's Department. Last week, we talked about the rise of the Bandidos in the East LA station, their takeover of the station, and how it allowed them to abuse their co-workers. But on today's show, we'll talk about their reign of terror over the communities of East Los Angeles, as well as their continued control over operations in the station. Before we get started, if you'd like to support the show, please rate it and go follow the show's Instagram and Twitter pages at The Black Hand Pod. And please feel free to reach out. Also, consider giving a little bit to the show's Venmo at The Black Hand Pod as well. But without further ado, let's get right into today's episode, which we'll start by talking about the change in leadership that would lead to the terrible violence that the Bandidos have become known for, because this change directly coincided with Bandidos member Rafael Munoz, aka Big Listo, succeeding Eric Valdez as the top shot caller of the gang in 2017. Munoz had been trained by former Sheriff Alex Villanueva, and though he had been discharged from the department following a domestic violence incident, he was later rehired. Before rising through the ranks of the Bandidos, becoming the leader and solidifying his control over the East LA station, making that point amongst his colleagues by having the Bandidos regularly beat other deputies unconscious in the parking lot of the station or at the El Capiro bar across the street for not falling in line, or more often than not, simply harass or force deputies out of the station. Like Art Hernandez, a deputy who worked at the East Los Angeles station, where he was repeatedly confronted by Munoz between 2016 and 17, before Deputy David Silverio, an alleged shot caller in the Bandidos, joined Munoz at an in-person meeting with Hernandez and other young deputies, where they were pressured to leave the station. The gang also pushes young Latino deputies to make arrests by enforcing illegal arrest quotas, throwing the legitimacy of their detentions into question. And if they don't comply, the Bandidos send them out for extra calls at the end of their shifts or exaggerate others. But like we talked about last week, the gang also sexually harassed women working at the East LA station, and though two women who had been sexually harassed by the Bandidos had already come forward demanding that the county take action, no significant steps were taken, and the behavior continued. So by the spring of 2018, Deputies Granados and Zaradini took their concerns about the treatment of young Latinos in the department to supervisors, meeting with Lieutenant Richard Meja, who had allegedly launched an investigation into the Bandidos, wherein around 20 deputies were interviewed and acknowledged that the gang caused problems at the station, though the action taken in response amounted to nothing. And once Deputy Granados gave his statement to Meja, Sergeant Angelica Estrada, also known as the Pink Hand, informed the Bandidos that Granados had blown the whistle. Though it's not surprising that it was Estrada who found out about the statement, as she has been described as the brains of the operation for the Bandidos. And she had power over captains as far as assigning trainees, and with them, bonuses. So when the gang learned of the complaints, nothing came from either, as Lieutenant Eric Smithson altered Meja's memo detailing his findings on the Bandidos under the orders of Chief Bob Denham. And once Estrada told the gang what Granados had done, Granados, Zaradini, and the deputies they were trying to protect all became targets. Biglisto started sending harassing messages, while the rest of the gang refused to provide backup to Granados when he was on high-risk calls, like those with reportedly armed suspects, as both Granados and Zaradini were denied promotion. However, the Bandidos showcased their violence among colleagues on September 26, 2018, when Deputy Alfred Gonzalez was getting dressed in the locker room at the end of his shift. And though he had been previously subjected to the Bandidos' intimidation tactics, he was once again confronted by Deputies Gregory Rodriguez, Rafael Munoz, and Vincent Moran, a Bandido shot caller, who pressured Gonzalez to follow their illegal arrest quotas, work overtime without pay, and even told him to quit. And the following evening, the gang led a coordinated attack that sent several people to the hospital. On September 28, 2018, trainees held a department party at Kennedy Hall for officers in East Los Angeles to celebrate the completion of training, and on-duty personnel were assigned as designated drivers so attendees could drink. Sheriff Alex Villanueva was there, and several members of the Bandidos also showed up, which was uncommon. Deputies Silverio, Rodriguez, Munoz, Hector Little Listo Saavedra, Silvano Garcia, Bralino Robleda, and Sergeant Mike Hernandez, a Bandidos then assigned to Men's Central Jail, were among the group of gang members who came to the event intent on beating up people who hadn't gotten with the program. Silverio spotted Gonzalez and threatened him, before other deputies were temporarily able to defuse the situation. But a fight broke out between deputies Rodriguez and Fuentes, which soon led to Munoz attacking Deputy Art Hernandez. And even as four other LASD members pulled Munoz off Deputy Hernandez, the attacks continued. Sergeant Hernandez approached Fuentes and shoved him across the parking lot and into the street before putting Deputy Escobedo in a headlock, as Silverio held him down while three others surrounded him and started beating him, eventually knocking him out cold, causing the witnesses to get more units from the station on site to stop the attacks. However, Escobedo finally got enough space to get out of his shirt and into Gonzalez's car, at which point Deputy Casas climbed into the driver's seat and drove the three of them out. Escobedo later went to the emergency room, while Deputy Hernandez had to get stitches following the brawl and was treated for a concussion. Following the incident, Deputies Art Hernandez, Alfred Gonzalez, Benjamin Zaradini, David Casas, Louis Granados, Maria Contreras, Oscar Escobedo, and Ariela Lemus filed a lawsuit against the county. And in March of 2019, Vincent Miller, an attorney representing the deputies who were assaulted, sent a letter to the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors detailing the actions of the banditos at the East LA station, as well as the events of Kennedy Hall. And after an investigation into the incident was conducted by the Sheriff's Department, Los Angeles prosecutors declined to file charges in February 2020 against Sergeant Michael Hernandez and deputies Rafael Munoz, Gregory Rodriguez, and David Silverio. However, a report by the Los Angeles County Office of Inspector General found that the internal investigation wasn't sufficient and did not follow department procedure, even going as far as to call it a cover-up. According to the complaint, Munoz, Silverio, Rodriguez, and Sergeant Hernandez were put on leaves of absence before Sergeant Hernandez retired as Estrada, Garcia, and Lieutenant Smithson were moved to another station. Garcia and Deputy Vincent Moran, who had allegedly harassed new deputies, continued to work at the East LA station on overtime shifts. But most banditos remained at the East LA station, including Noel Lopez, who hosted gang meetings at his home. So following the filing of the lawsuit, the banditos didn't provide backup to Zaradini on a call involving an alleged shooting, leading Sheriff Alex Villanueva, who trained Big Listo, to acknowledge that the banditos maintained control of the East Los Angeles station. That year, a flyer featuring the names of contact information for the three men who allegedly founded the banditos began circulating, including Joe Meja, who created the banditos logo and tattoo, Leo Niola, and Danny Batanero. And just a month later, the group of deputies who blew the whistle on the banditos requested transfers out of the East LA station. Though the Sheriff's Department refused to grant the transfers, prompting the group to file internal claims on May 28, 2019, and they were approved for transfers. With Villanueva admitting that the banditos controlled the captain and that the plaintiffs were attacked due to a lack of supervision, and that the supervisors actually added to the problem. So when it was all said and done, Sheriff Villanueva allegedly transferred 36 people and disciplined 26 employees as a result of the attack at Kennedy Hall. But if this is true, it didn't do anything to stop the banditos, nor their high status within the department. Because around February 2020, Villanueva hired a bandito shot caller named Manny Navarro as one of his drivers. In the following year, the gang even held an inking party where they initiated 10 new members. However, it was this climate of carelessness and even support of deputy gangs that allowed the banditos to perpetrate violence not only on their co-workers, but on the members of the community that they were supposed to protect. It all started on August 3rd, 2012, when Darren Burley was detained by deputies David Aviles, a 3000 Boys associate, and Paul Becerra. During a misdemeanor arrest, Aviles and Becerra punched, choked, and tasered Burley, resulting in him suffering a brain injury, which killed Burley just 12 days later. With the jury eventually finding Aviles liable for intentional battery by use of excessive force, and Becerra liable for negligence resulting in Burley's death, granting his family an $8 million award. As Becerra and Lee appear to have been deputies as recently as 2018. But deaths at the hands of the banditos weren't limited to adults. And on November 16th, 2017, Deputy Carrie Robles Plasencia was driving a patrol vehicle with Vincent Moran, an alleged bandido shot caller with a history of harassing deputies. It was even involved in the Kennedy Hall attack. Plasencia and Moran were driving through East Los Angeles towards South Indiana Street and Whittier Boulevard, where Maria Veronica Solis Munoz stood with her two children, aged 7 and 9, respectively. But as Robles Plasencia drove, she ran a red light without her siren and was struck by another vehicle, pushing her patrol car onto the sidewalk and into the mother and her young children. As the boys died shortly after the crash, while Munoz suffered a crushed pelvis and several broken bones. And despite the fact that an investigation conducted by the LAPD determined that Plasencia's decision to enter the intersection on a red light without due regard for the safety of all persons caused the crash, no charges were filed against her due to lack of evidence, and the case was buried by Sheriff Villanueva. Though Solis Munoz filed a civil suit against the county in 2018, which was settled for $17.5 million. However, it would be less than a year before the next murder attributed to the bandidos, which came with the death of Anthony Vargas on August 12, 2018. According to a district attorney's report, a man walking back to his car from a Denny's on Mednick and East Caesar Avenues was allegedly robbed for his watch by a group of men standing outside the Maravilla housing community. So we called 911, causing deputies James Duran, Adrian Rendon, and two bandidos prospects named Nicholas Perez and Jonathan Rojas to respond to the scene. And as the responding officers searched the surrounding area, they spotted Anthony Vargas, who they presumed to be armed, and ordered him to stop. Deputies claimed that Vargas ran, but quickly fell, and as they approached him, Perez punched Vargas in the back of the head repeatedly. But when Vargas broke away, the deputy stated that they believed he would kill them with the gun they believed to be in his waistband. So Rojas and Perez both opened fire on Vargas, hitting him 16 times. And the Vargas family asserts in a claim against the county that killing Vargas earned Perez full member status in the Bandidos gang. However, it would only be a few months before Deputy Nicholas Perez would kill again, because on December 16, 2019, Jorge Serrano was walking on 4th Street near Dittman Avenue in East Los Angeles, where he was spotted by Perez, who was riding in a patrol car with another deputy. Serrano was aggressively approached by both of the deputies and fled in fear, before he gave up and stopped running after one block and dropped to his knees with his hands up to show that he wasn't a threat. Despite that, Perez shot Serrano 7 times, hitting him in the neck and groin, before leaving him bleeding profusely in the street without medical care, causing him to die shortly after the shooting. But as far as we know, this was really the last violent exploit that has been tied to the bandidos. Though, they are still an incredibly active deputy gang, and in fact, one of the most active still out there today. But that's really all I have for you guys today. I hope everyone thoroughly enjoyed today's show, and tunes back in next week for part 8 of episode 57. Where we'll talk about the reign of the Compton Executioners, another one of the most recent deputy gangs to pop up in the sheriff's department, which, like the Bandidos, would take control over their home station in Compton and terrorize the very community that it was meant to protect. If you enjoyed today's show, please rate it and go follow the show's Instagram and Twitter pages at The Black Ham Pod, and feel free to reach out with feedback, suggestions, and comments. Also, consider giving a little bit to the show's Venmo at The Black Ham Pod as well. But with that said, I hope you all have a great rest of your day. This is your host, Bliss Grieve, signing out.